a Boston conservative in the cradle of liberty. You'll want to listen when Chuck Moore speaks on the Information Radio Network.
Thank you very much. Hour number two of Chuck Moore Speaks, Monday through Friday, 10 till noon Eastern Standard Time. You're welcome to join the program, 1-800-773-8255, 1-800-773-8255. And my guest is a returning guest, Elizabeth Morris. She is the chair of Christian Alliance for Indian Child Welfare, the author of Dying in Indian Country, a columnist with Women's Voices Media. Elizabeth, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Hi, how are you? It's good to be here.
I'm good, Elizabeth. Thank you. You know, you've talked with us in the past about conditions on Indian reservations. Indian reservations claim that they ought to be getting more sovereignty within the American system, and yet many of these reservations are mired in poverty due to their own corruption. And could you give us a thumbnail with regard to what we're seeing on the many hundreds of Native American reservations across the United States?
Okay. Well, CNN did a report just last month called Sexual Abuse Rampant on Indian Reservation, and we were just very pleased with how honest they were and how much they – I mean, we did not expect that, that they would be as blunt and as honest they were about how bad it really is. It is known, we're finding out that it's known by our federal officials that that Spirit Lake is a microcosm. I was worried for a little while here that they would try to label it as an anomaly, that what's happening at the abuses and even murder of children on at Spirit Lake is an anomaly and it's not happening other places. But we're finding out that that the federal agencies do in fact know that it's a microcosm, that it's happening on many reservations. And yet our federal officials blatantly look the other way. Over a year ago, the members of the Spirit Lake Reservation, elders and people, mothers, grandmothers, pushed to have the federal government come in and change things to take over because of the murder of two small children. They were raped, their throats were slit. This had happened a year earlier, and the tribal government, the tribal social services, the tribal law enforcement hadn't done anything about it. The members know what's happening to their children. They know the amount of sexual abuse and physical abuse that's going on the reservation. So the grandmothers and elders got together and needed something to change, so they pushed for the federal government to come. The federal government came in, the BIA took over the social services, the law enforcement was taken over by FBI, and U.S. Attorney Tim Perdon was there as well. And they finally convicted the murderer, one of the murderers of those children in September. So 2 years after their murder, the guy finally went to jail. But for a long time, that was the only thing Tim Perdon did. And I was at a February town hall meeting at Spirit Lake where elders and members of the community were there. The panel had a representative from Senator Hoeven's office, Senator Heitkamp's office. The BIA was there. Tim Perdon was there. The tribal council was there. The FBI was there. They were all there, and the tribal members were telling them, we told you about this. We reported this. Nothing has happened. You're not investigating this. I told you this 2 months ago. I told you this 3 months ago. And Tim Perdon got up there and said, along with calling a regional director of the ACF a liar for having reported child abuse and the sexual abuse, he said, well, investigations take time. You just don't understand how much time it takes to investigate this. And
meanwhile, children's lives are at risk.
Yeah. So that's the spiel he gave on it. Tom Sullivan is a regional administrator of the Administration of Children and Families, and he's been reporting directly to his superiors in D.C., to George Sheldon, who's running for ag down in Florida right now. He reported all of this in 13 documented reports to his superiors in ACS. They ignored all of it. He reported that 25 children were taken from safe, good homes off of the reservation, placed on the reservation directly with, into the homes of known sexual offenders. And he had tons of stuff in his reports, you know, over 100 different events and things to report. And our federal government has ignored all of it. Because they put the bottom line truth is, and they've been very blunt about this. A lot of times when we've gone to the Indian Affairs or BIA or Tribal Justice Department underneath Eric Holder, they tell us point blank that tribal sovereignty trumps individual rights. They talk about years ago and how we can't mess with anything right now. They talk about how much more important tribal sovereignty and not stepping on toes and maintaining relationship, maintaining government-to-government relationship is so much more important than the fact that these children are being sexually abused and murdered. It is so past time for us to grow up and stop it.
Has this policy changed?
In the home of a known sexual offender at Spirit Lake, and nobody is doing anything about it.
Has this policy changed in the Obama years, or is it this has been going on?
Entrenched. This has been entrenched for 30 years. The first time Tracy Tallou from the Tribal Justice Department told me this was back in the late 1990s, I think, the first time I visited him, and he told me that there was nothing they can do. The Tribal Justice Department represents the tribal government. It doesn't represent individuals. That's what I was told way back then. And it is even more now. Eric Holder stood up at the 2-3 weeks ago at the White House Native American Conference. He stood up and applauded Tim Burton for the work supposedly that he's doing to help children on reservations. At that, he's only made two convictions the whole time he's been there, despite the many, 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 many reports by tribal members and by Tom Sullivan that there's much more, that all of this is going on. He's done absolutely nothing of consequence. He has not changed it. In fact, Lauren Whiteshield, a 3-year-old, is dead. George Sheldon, who is now running for Attorney General down in Florida, was told all of this stuff by Tom Sullivan. He basically, in March or April, told Tom Sullivan that he doesn't believe him, that he's going to stand behind the BIA and Tim Purdon and the FBI and believe them. And we've got documentation of we've got George Sheldon's letters saying exactly this. If George Sheldon had listened to Tom then, if the BIA had done its job there at Tribal Social Services, if the FBI had done its job with law enforcement and Tim Purdon had done his job with law enforcement, Lauren Whiteshield wouldn't have been taken from a very safe home in Bismarck where she was loved, where she and her twin sister were loved and safe and had lived there most of their lives for about 2 years. They were moved to a home of a relative where a known child abuser was living. This abuser had abused her own children and had been taken to tribal court before for abusing her own children. These two little girls were placed there, and within a month, Lauren was dead. And if George Sheldon and the rest of them would just listen, she would have been alive. It's just appalling when you tell Americans that our federal government has said that a group of people in the United States don't have any rights, that children don't have the right to a safe home because our government officials are too afraid to step on the toes of a corrupt tribal leader. They didn't even know it. I was in Senator McCain's office just yesterday talking to Nick Mattelia, his aide, and they know that many of these tribal governments are corrupt. They know what's going on. He admitted it. Many of these offices that I've been in and out of over the last month, I've been here in D.C. knocking on doors. They know it.
And yet, what are they afraid of?
He told me maybe you should start with the state officials. Maybe you should go back and start with the state officials. Maybe they can do something. Are you kidding me? Congress has plenary power. Why are we being shoved out the door? Congress has plenary power over tribal governments. They have the absolute right to change the rules.
Of course. I mean, the state has power.
Go ahead.
I'm glad to hear you. You know, you're really getting right into it. This is huge. The state has the power to change the rules. These tribal governments have a certain amount of sovereignty, but they're not sovereign. They cannot.
This whole myth about tribal sovereignty is just that. It's a myth. They do not have the right to make an army. They don't have the right to issue birth certificates and death certificates. The Law and White Shield birth certificate is with the county. It's not with the tribe. For death certificates,
and the tribes,
with the county,
I mean, the members of the tribe are the U.S. citizens.
Visas, passports. Here's the bottom line. My husband, 100% Minnesota Chippewa. My relatives, my children, my grandchildren are United States citizens. The people at Spirit Lake are United States citizens. We've got this double speak going on where tribal governments are supposedly sovereign and nobody can step on their toes. At the same time as the regular tribe, the average tribal membership, they're United States citizens and they're not being allowed their rights. What is this double speak going on?
It's very strange. I mean, they're American citizens. They vote in the American election. They vote for governor. They vote for president. They vote for Congress. And yet they're not getting the same protections as any other citizen. I mean, this whole
they're treated worse than we've ever treated citizens. You know, all this garbage. How can they even talk about atrocities 150 years ago and blame atrocities 150 years ago when they are committing atrocities today?
Elizabeth, you are doing, look, you're doing a great job of monitoring it and exposing it, and I want to help. But doesn't the state government, aren't they involved at all in inspecting what goes on reservations, and just like they would inspect
they're not really
any other community?
So much. I mean, they can do certain things to a certain extent, but it's really federal government that, and that's why the people of Spirit Lake, they went and asked federal government to come in. They asked federal government to take over because that's who they had to ask, not the state government. And the federal government finally did take over. You have Senator McCain's office telling me that we're supposed to go to the state government? Hey, mister, the federal government is there. The BIA was there when Lauren was
just
murdered.
Passing the
BIA was supposedly in charge of social services when Lauren was placed in that home. So why are you telling
like
me about the state government?
Yeah, he's just passing the buck.
You're supposed to be doing something. That was supposed to be
What about AIM? The Bureau of Indian Affairs?
AIM.
I will be right back, Elizabeth. You have to take a break.
Okay.
Morse speaks.
Thank you very much. My guest is Elizabeth Forrest. And we're talking about child abuse on Native American reservations. You're specifically talking, Elizabeth, about the Spirit Lake Reservation in Fort Taunton, North Dakota. But and this is a case where the government stood by and turned a blind eye while this young girl was murdered, and that there were other horrendous cases of terrible physical and sexual abuse on that reservation. The reservation assumedly has its own law enforcement. Is that right? I mean, the local police can't.
But, you know, one of the elders got up to speak at that town hall meeting in February. She said, she was the last one up there. She was walking really slowly. She is unsteadily. She said, I've lived here all my life. My parents lived here all their lives. I'm 100%. She said, I've tried to report this a number of times, and nobody will come and take my report. She said, I saw on my lawn, and she was interrupted by the panel. I was looking at her, so I wasn't looking at the panel. I don't know if it was the chairman or Tim Purdon that was saying it. It was one of those two. But they were shushing her. They were saying, no, we don't need to hear that. We already know your story. We need to close this meeting. If you want to talk to somebody after the meeting, we'll talk to you after the meeting, but we got to close this meeting. It's gone on for too long now. And she was trying to talk, and they were trying to talk over her, and they wouldn't let her speak. Finally, they won, and they closed the meeting. As I was getting up to leave, I asked the women around me. I said, am I the only one in this room that doesn't know what she was going to say? And they said, she saw two little boys, a six-year-old and an eight-year-old, having anal sex on her lawn. And she called police, and they wouldn't, and nobody's come to take a report because they're related to somebody on the tribal council.
Who's in charge over there, Elizabeth? Who is in charge of that reservation? Do they elect somebody? Sounds like it is completely corrupt.
Oh, yeah, but it's not. It is so normal. For those of us that have lived on and around that reservation, we know this is so normal. I mean, we have seen this kind of thing. The elected, okay, the elders tried to oust their tribal government this spring. All the elders got together, the grandmothers and grandfathers, and they voted to oust their entire tribal council because of corruption. They were not allowed to do so, partly because of the tribal constitution, partly because of the BIA. At any rate, they were not able to oust them. They fought really hard and finally ousted the chairman, but they had to really fight hard for that, and they still have the rest of the council on there that they had wanted to get rid of and couldn't get rid of. And you have to remember, too, you know, that's another thing an aide told me. He said, oh, well, they're all elected. It was Kenneth Martin, who's with the Indian Affairs. He told me, oh, they're all elected by the membership. The membership's in control. No, that's not even that is not the case in every situation. My husband's tribal government was convicted in the late 90s of ballot box stuffing and millions of dollars in embezzlement. They in court, in federal court, it came out that 100 absentee ballots were all signed by the same notary in Brainerd, and yet they were supposedly came from tribal members that were living all across the country, from all kinds of different states. They were all signed by the same notary in the same place. Okay, you know, here's the fact. 75% of tribal members do not live in Indian country. Many, like my husband, have left because of the crime and corruption, because it's not a good place to raise your children, because the tribal government is oppressive, corrupt, and controlling. And so 75% don't live. You know, some of them are still attached to the tribal government, but many are like my husband and have left purposely. That is why he originally started fighting against the Indian Child Welfare Act. He was a man of 100% heritage. He grew up he didn't even start speaking English until he started kindergarten. He grew up on the reservation and grew up with a lot of the older traditions. That he did not want his children on that reservation, and he did not want the tribal government to have jurisdiction over them. And he started fighting and speaking out against it. And that is why we put up a website in the late 90s, and people started writing to us from around the country, because when they would Google Indian Child Welfare Act, if they were having trouble with Indian Child Welfare, if it was suddenly something that was thrust into their lives and they were trying to save their kids, they would Google Indian Child Welfare Act to find out what the heck this law was and how and why it could be doing this. And they would find we were the only ones speaking against the Indian Child Welfare Act. The only other entities on the website would be all of the tribal entities and NICWA and NARF and these other high-paying
All right, Elizabeth, we have to take a break for news. Sit tight. We'll be back after news. You know, I'd imagine that if there's child abuse, there's also abuse of women, abuse of men for that matter. We'll be back after news.
You'll want to listen when Chuck Moore speaks on the Information Radio Network.
Thank you very much. Elizabeth Morris is my guest, chair of the Christian Alliance for Indian Child Welfare, author of Dying in Indian Country, columnist with Women's Voices Media. Elizabeth, you're blowing the whistle loud and clear on abuse on Native American reservations. And I would imagine that it's not just child abuse.
It's about the abuse of women. The Violence Against Women Act, they had added a new thing to it when they passed it again this spring. They mandated that victims of abuse, if either the victim or the perpetrator were a tribal member, it's required, it's mandated that it be in tribal court, not in county court. Now, you can imagine if a non-member woman is assaulted by a tribal member and has to go to tribal court. But you know what? Even tribal member women, lots of them will not bring their stories to tribal court. You know, it's one thing for people on the East Coast, for our congressmen on the East Coast who have never lived on or near a reservation to make all kinds of assumptions and make all kinds of mandates. It's another thing when you're actually living in the situation where so many people do know that the tribal government or the tribal and or the tribal courts are corrupt. And these women, they get assaulted. They know that they're not going to get justice in tribal court, yet they're not going to be allowed to go to county court. So what? They're not going to say anything. There's not going to be any justice. And this is the Violence Against Women Act? This is what it just did?
Now, is the Violence Against Women Act binding on the tribal court?
The tribal governments, corrupt tribal governments, pushed this thing onto the Violence Against Women Act. They demanded it. Now, I had several Republican senator officers tell me that they tried to fight against it, and they tried to bring up the fact that the constitutional rights of people would be violated by mandating they all go to tribal court, but that the tribal leaders insisted and that the Senate doesn't have any control over that the Democrats in the Senate, one Democrat, I was told not one Democrat would stand up for the constitutional rights of the tribal members or the, you know,
now, Elizabeth,
the victims,
what
the
you're telling me then
to the victims. They all voted across the board to allow the tribal governments to have what they wanted.
So what you're telling me then is that the tribal court
of human rights.
The tribal court then is has jurisdiction that excludes state courts, federal courts. In other words, if a crime happens on a reservation, the only legal recourse is the tribal legal system. You can't go to the state or federal.
Well, for other crimes you still can. No, this is specifically to the Violence Against Women Act. This is specifically about domestic abuse against women, and it is specific,
now,
specifically.
Now, how pervasive is the corruption in other reservations, and how pervasive are these corrupt tribal courts and tribal councils in other reservations? I mean, we're talking here about the Spirit Lake.
It is pervasive. Now, that's not saying that there aren't good ones. There are, you know, but it is pervasive at the same time.
And the problem is that there's no way of investigating it, because the Attorney General's office refuses to do it. The state Attorney General won't do it. There's no oversight. I mean, in a sense, this is the problem with giving this kind of sovereignty.
And we've been trying to petition. You know, okay, so you have the ACF official, Tom Sullivan, making very specific allegations as to what the FBI, BIA, and Tim Purdon have not been doing. You've got these allegations. So we went to Daryl Issa's office, and we went to others on the government affairs, and we said, we want an oversight hearing. We've gone to Senator Cruz, and we said, he's on the Judicial Committee. He chairs he's the minority leader on for Constitution, Civil, and Human Rights, and we've said, we need an oversight hearing. But people say, that's Indian Affairs. You have to go to Indian Affairs. Well, Indian Affairs has already said tribal sovereignty comes individual rights. So you've got to
choose. Author, journalist, and American patriot. This is Chuck Morse Speaks.
Thank you very much. Elizabeth Morris is my guest, Elizabeth, I'd like to see if we can set up a debate or an interview between yourself and someone in the Indian Tribal Council and to discuss these issues. You could arrange for it, let me know. You know, if you know somebody who can come on and we could do that, and we'll plan it in advance so that people can be properly notified to listen in, we could really develop a national conversation on this topic. And, you know, as I look at next year and figure out programming, I'd like to get – this is an issue I would like to get into and bring public attention to, because, you know, it's something that I think crosses – ideological lines, it crosses race lines. It's just simply a matter of whether or not we're going to provide for protection of our children and of our citizens, whether or not we're going to see the rule of law. And as you say, some of these councils are okay, but others of them are really off the rails in terms of corruption, and that transcends just children. It gets into all sorts of corruption and abuse against women and men as well. People who are not on the inside in these corrupt governments, like any other corrupt government.
Exactly. You know, and when you, if you read the Violence Against Women Act, this section right here, it very clearly protects the perpetrators. Now, we just got done saying that tribal members were accusing the tribal council itself of being pedophiles and of sexual abuse. The Violence Against Women Act protects the perpetrator, not the victim. It's very clear if you read it. And we're very certain that the reason that the tribal governments wanted complete control over any accusations of sexual abuse is because of that very reason. But also, when it comes to our Congress, we do understand that most of our senators and House members, if they live way far from Indian reservations, if they've never been on or near them, they're only hearing from tribal leaders, and they're only hearing from NARF and NICWA and these other entities that get paid to support tribal sovereignty. They don't know. They need to hear other voices, and they just haven't had that opportunity. So that's why I'm here in D.C. to give them that other voice and to show them. And it's a tough work.
But you're doing a great job. We'll be right back, Elizabeth.
Chuck Morse speaks.
Thank you very much. Elizabeth Morris is my guest, chair of the Christian Alliance for Indian Child Welfare. Elizabeth, you're like a lone voice out there trying to expose this. This sort of corruption that leads to the abuse, sexual and physical abuse of children. These are American children. They're American citizens. Continue.
I'm not exactly alone. Betty Jo Krenz out at the Spirit Lake Reservation, Tom Sullivan, Johnston Moore in California. There's Cat West up even in Canada. There are people that are speaking this, and there are people that are trying to come against this. But we're a small group. That's definitely true.
And you're reaching out to Washington lobbyists. You're in Washington. You're trying to get to Congress because regulation of Indian affairs is a federal issue, not a state issue. So far, Congress has turned a blind eye, especially liberal Democrats, all Democrats. They're afraid of, maybe appearing to have something against Native American men and women. Is that what it's about?
Yeah, there's a fear of being accused of racism. I think that, again, that's something that gets beat into their heads by NICWA and NARF and tribal leaders. My husband and many other tribal members... my husband was not focused on what happened 150 years ago. He was focused on what's happening to his family today. But NARF and NICWA and these other tribal entities try to keep beating about what happened 150 years ago and make that the focus so that everybody will feel guilty while they go ahead and do whatever they want. And they themselves are committing atrocities to the members.
The whole idea that people would be concerned about go, I mean, that they would have something against Native American men and women is preposterous anyways. You know, I mean, but what they're doing is that they're using the threat of accusing someone of that as a way of keeping them quiet, as a way of intimidating them into not getting into this business. And politicians are cowards. They don't want to, you know, get accused of something. You need to get a couple of brave people up there who are going to say this has to stop.
Exactly. Yes. And so, and we have men of honor, and we do have decent men up there. We just need to get their attention to get them to understand. You know, power and money corrupts, and that's all there is to it. What we basically said is, given, you know, these 500 plus different entities, we said, here's money and here's power, and we're not going to audit it at all. You can do whatever you want, and then human nature kicks in. I mean, it's inevitable when you set up a situation like this that this is going to happen. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with human nature. Power and money corrupt. And you have a situation where state officials and law enforcement can't readily go into the reservations and arrest criminals, so criminals go there. You've got gangs, drug gangs all over the place controlling a lot of stuff that's going on there. My husband's grandson was shot over a gang thing at Spirit Lake this last July, and that's another thing Tim Purdon hasn't tried to charge anyone on, because it's a very strong drug gang from Minneapolis, and I imagine that they have a little bit of wield there as well.
You know, Elizabeth, there's a new movie coming out that deals with the reservation, I think, in New Jersey, that shows some of the violence and corruption that surrounds the atmosphere of that reservation. Do you know about it?
Oh, no, I don't know much about the state reservations. The Midwest and Western federal reservations are what I'm.
Okay, but this is a Hollywood. It's a Hollywood movie. I mean, I think that it's already stirred some controversy. There are members of the tribe who are saying it's racist, but it shows a terrible level of violence and corruption on this particular reservation. I don't know if it's state or federal. I would guess it's probably state. I don't think there are too many federal reservations in these parts. But, you know, this might shine some light on things, I hope.
Yeah, and we look forward to any kind of help anyone wants to give with this. Urge your senators to pay attention to it, please.
Mm-hmm. How can people get in touch with you, Elizabeth?
My website's our acronym, CAICW.org. We've been posting documents. We've been posting the letters George Sheldon has written. He's running on this thing for Ag down in Florida, saying how much he's against child abuse and that type of thing, yet he's turned his back on the reservation kids. You know, so we've got documents there. We'd love for people to come and read them and look at them and share them. And it's CAICW.org.
All right, Elizabeth. Listen, Elizabeth Morris, again, I want to thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
We'll do it again. You bet. Thanks. Same
to you. Bye-bye.
Okay. We'll be right back after this.
Program returns in 60.
Attention! If you suspect you have poor night vision, you can test your night vision right now by looking at any street light, stoplight, or car headlight. Are the lights blurry, or do they have a halo around them? If the answer is yes, then we can make that better. Guaranteed. Dr. Whitaker's Vision Essentials formula includes the newest clinically tested nutrient for improving your ability to adjust from light to dark in as little as 30 minutes.
Don't settle for cheap supplements, uninformed doctors who say there's nothing you can do, or vitamins that only cover some of the nutrients.
Most over-the-counter vision supplements skimp and even leave out this special nutrient. Dr. Whitaker includes this vital nutrient and combines it with the top 6 better vision ingredients for complete eye health.
Improve the health of your eyes today. Vision Essentials will change the way you see the world.
4 million bottles have already been sold. Now you can get a free bonus bottle. Enjoy improved night vision, better visual acuity, an easier time focusing with less eye strain and fatigue. Guaranteed or you don't pay. To get your free bonus bottle, call 800-996-7839. 800-996-7839. 800-996-7839.
Chuck Morse speaks.
Thank you very much, and I want to thank Elizabeth Morris for joining me just this hour. What a powerful story that is. Boy, you know, that's gripping. I'm going to get into that in this next year as I further develop the program and expand it, hopefully, and bring it out. I love what I'm doing here. You know, this is my life's dream, doing talk radio. I've been doing it for 16 years, and I am happy with it. I couldn't be in a better place getting to host a nationally syndicated program Monday through Friday, 10 till noon. And this next year, I'm hoping to expand things and really launch what I've always envisioned talk radio as, going all the way back to the days where I used to listen to Jerry Williams, my mentor, the late, great, legendary talk show host. And that is having a national conversation with people of diverse viewpoints and perspectives. And often getting them to debate each other on the same show, and to do so in a way that's respectful and educational and an opportunity to learn and understand the world around us better. That's all I can do. My books are available on Amazon Kindle, including my latest book, which is actually selling a few copies, I'm pleased to say. That being, Was Hitler a Leftist? All other titles include On the Jewish Question, Karl Marx, Anti-Semitism and the War Against the West, The Socialist Bible, Why the Communist Manifesto is the World's Second Most Important Book, Acorn, The Takeover of America, The Count of Fabians, Republicans in the Age of Obama, American Testament, The Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, Keys to America's Future, Islamo-Communism, The Communist Connection to Islamic Terrorism, The Art and Science of American Money, How Our Money is Created and Why It Matters, Bible Tabula Rasa, The Book of Genesis, and The Monkey Trial, Evolutionary Politics in the Post-Traditional Age, all available on Amazon Kindle or Amazon.com. Just go there, put my name in the server, Chuck Morse, Morse like a Morse code, and they'll come up. Thanks for listening, everyone, here at the Information Radio Network. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody.
Forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-540-0364. 1-800-540-0364. That's 1-800-540-0364. 1-800-540-0364.